Okay, you guys can start. Go.
And I could not believe that the alien showed up in the final episode. That was a total, I never didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I kind of like that, though.
I think you're talking about Under the Dome.
Oh.
Spoiler.
Was I?
I don't know if you read the book, yes, but from what I'm hearing, it's nothing like the book. So
yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Thank you, family, for showing up.
I do have to ask first, before we introduce, is this a show you guys watch as a family? No.
You're not actually with them.
Dang.
Nice.
No. Me and my brother and my mom.
Really?
No. Yeah. Okay. Well,
okay.
We're going to talk about the whole thing from end to end, so yeah. Spoilers afloat.
Oh, it's a DragonCon connection. Okay.
Fantastic.
Okay. You're here, right?
Do you know where you are?
I like how he just throws up his hands. Like,
neither do we, so it's all good.
Right. You know where your children are.
I do that with my own self, so I mean, I'm with you there. All right, so who are we?
Oh.
Rox, who are you?
Hello.
I'm awesome.
Well, we knew that.
Yeah. I'm Rox of Spaz House, artist in resident for NeedCoffee.com.
Fantastic.
And future Warehouse 13 villain.
That's right.
We got a problem there.
Yeah, you would.
Well, wrong panel.
Fan fiction will always live on. Yes, it will.
Okay. Who are you, John?
John, I'm John. Thank
hi,
you.
Hi, John.
Moving on.
John, what do you do?
Nothing. I do lots of things. I don't know.
He's an assassin. I'm Widget Walls. I'm the chief of the Wild Washer of NeedCoffee.com. And that's my day job. At night, I write about weird stuff because I can't afford therapy.
I'm JJ.
He's the Bar, new guy.
Also an assassin.
Bars Eats Podcast.
And speaking of assassins... Sorry.
My official title is Director of Special Projects with NeedCoffee.com. And I'm Jenna. And all else would be silence.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so we're here to talk about the following, and Scott has the first question.
Yes. I have not watched the following. Why should I?
You need to leave the room, Scott, like, seriously.
No, I don't care. That's what, but I want to know why should I watch?
Why is it worth leaving the room?
Okay, I'll go first. What I would say...
I can count some reasons.
Yeah. What I would say is that it's a effective take on serial killers... in the plural form, and it does a really good job of having pretty much some sort of mind, for the sake of the family that's in the room, groping, cliffhanger at pretty much 9 out of the 10 episodes.
Yeah.
The 10th episode we'll talk about later, and I'm sure someone will shoot me. But what do you guys think? Why is it worth watching? Why should we care? Why should we not watch Hannibal instead and
get really pretentious? It's a good learning tool how not to... fall into the wrong crowd. It really is. If you look at it a standpoint of, you know, here's a charismatic person on how easy people are swayed, even people who are, you know, borderline psychotic can fall into, you know, somebody who's very charismatic.
And I think it shows also that you should beware of college professors. John, what do you think?
It's brilliantly acted, brilliantly written. It kind of takes it does a good job of taking someone who is broken, telling their story, and I don't know, because I love anti-heroes too, so it works out well because he's just a Ryan being who he is. He's not a guy you should admire. I mean, he's done some admirable things in his life, but the reality is that who he is now is horrible. I mean, he's a person that even as we go through the show, has done things that are even questionable an acting FBI agent or what are you calling him? A consultant. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why. I mean, why do you watch any other show? Why do I watch Sons of Anarchy? Why do I watch? I mean, there are shows that are more based on things that are real. Not everything is clean cut. Not all things are good and evil. There's a mixture.
And I think talking to the writing, I like it because it subverts expectations. I mean, And the reason for that is Kevin Williamson is the guy who created it. Kevin Williamson did Scream before it became silly. Well, I don't know about Dawson's Creek not being silly, but I mean, what I liked about Scream was it took something that you knew in the slasher film genre and turned it on its head. Yeah, it was really good. Well, this is the same thing as well, is that you were sitting there from time to time because it's all a matter of, well, who's in on it, who isn't. So you're constantly reworking your, with each episode, oh, I think that's them, or I think, oh, well, that's not him. Oh, I thought it was him, but I'm completely wrong. So it's mostly about playing a shell game in your head. I mean, JJ, what do you think? Why do you watch?
Because I was told to.
That's a good reason.
I like the fact that, although I tend not to think of Kevin Bacon, I'm sorry, I can tell for these things too. I tend not to think of Kevin Bacon as an actor that I go out of my way to pursue, to find work. I
mean, stalk, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, he does a lot of things that I find incredibly boring. Although I find him appealing as an actor, I find his choices pretty pedestrian. So this was kind of nice to see him play something with a little life in it.
Mm. It's
kind of like he watched his wife get a juicy role and went, oh, I want to go to TV too. But I also, another thing that I was enjoying throughout it, you know, as a sort of a lower level thing as well, I kind of get tired of pedantic morality in television, and the fact that a lot of times in television, if two characters have sex, it's very much the next thing you have to do is have a fight or break up or get married. And there's gray in this. There's a character who probably falls somewhere in the middle on the Kinsey scale, can't really figure out where he's more comfortable, other than and there's just sort of a, I don't know, there's sort of a, you know, if we're going to kill people, we might as well play around with other things too, and just because that's because this show is questioning for you to look at the differences of right and wrong and make your own decisions and live with them.
Jenna, why do you watch the show?
I get the mic now. JJ's the best guy. Okay, I'd say reasons, and I really do suggest that you leave the room, and of course we love you too, but it really is worth watching. It's the kind of thing that once you hear some spoilers, you won't be able to get the same surprises that I think are so wonderfully surprising, especially if you're the kind of person. Let me tell you why for a second.
Okay.
Because this is not the kind of thing that I would watch a lot of in any permutation as far as, you know, movies, TV, you know, that kind of thing. It's just not really traditionally my thing because I don't love watching people getting violently killed. And that is a spoiler. That's not so much a spoiler.
You prefer, like, live pain.
But it's, I think, very refreshing to see so many people that it really is, and that they've seen so many, read and seen, so many different plots, so many different permutations from so many different sources. Somebody like, you know, John Jada, you know, these kinds of people that have seen it and experienced it so many different ways, and it can still throw them. So it's wonderfully fresh in that way. But it also makes you kind of uncomfortable in a delicious way as an audience member, because there are moments where, because they are telling both sides of the stories, they're telling the good guys and the bad guys, which again is a kind of a gray area, where there are moments where you start to kind of feel bad for some of the serial killers, or you kind of empathize. There was this one, I will never forget it, this one time where they were playing some violin music behind this really emotional thing where this person was having this struggle, and it was one of the bad guys. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm starting to, like, empathize with this serial killer. This is not good. So, but, you know, how often can television on Fox do that? So for all those reasons, to give it a fair shot, I'd say
Run away. I also have to go to the bathroom, so okay.
There's also, I would say, yeah, and there's even a wash moment. You know, from Firefly, there's a wash moment. There's a character who died in the during the course of this series that I was angry and will not be the same coming back to it.
Okay.
And that's not even the...
And we'll discuss that in a minute.
Yeah.
Why do you guys watch? I'm actually curious as to why you guys watch. Well, I know you don't.
Yeah.
What do you guys enjoy
explain about?
Explain yourself. No, don't explain yourself. But what do you enjoy about the show?
I Kevin
Bacon. Wow, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you know...
There are Kevin Bacon.
He's loved him since Footloose. I mean, what are you going to do?
He's adopted, so...
Oh.
Dang.
No, I'm
Well, I would say this, going back to what JJ said about Kevin Bacon's choice of role, he actually is really good. I mean, if you want to, the last thing I really enjoyed him in was actually Stir of Echoes, which didn't get nearly as much play as another film that came out the same summer, which completely buried it, The Sixth Sense. And Stir of Echoes is actually better, partly because of Kevin Bacon's performance. So you got to have, he was playing a completely normal person who then goes, in his head, and makes it work. So yeah, Kevin Bacon.
This movie helped me forgive Hollow Man.
Ooh.
helped. I'm not over it.
Yeah.
Helped.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yes.
Well, I'm a fan of Kevin Bacon's indie film work, so that was why I tuned in to see what could have tempted him to come to television.
Yeah.
And, So on top of that, I was intrigued by the idea, because whenever you hear about serial killers being caught, they're always loners. You know, they're always by themselves, noticed, or, you know, or whatever. That's all any of the neighbors or family members can say about them.
Right.
And so I was intrigued by the idea of what happens when serial killers start comparing notes and working together as a cohesive unit and covering for each other. And now we saw, unfortunately, hopefully, serial killers didn't watch that and learn what to do. But I was just intrigued by that idea that these loners, and they're all loners when they meet the professor, but they get over that and figure out how the rest of us work together and accomplish things.
It is kind of disturbing, the thought that there's somebody out there, because they have such a broad-reaching audience. You know, somebody's out there taking notes like an instructional video. Like, okay,
right.
I need to do this. Oh, okay, that didn't work out well. Scratch that
but
point.
But two, you see how it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As somebody that has taken a test and then somebody asks for follow-up questions, you can see, like, okay, we've created this. Oh, look, we have our leader back. And it falls almost immediately apart.
Yes.
Because it's like, oh, we have our demigod here. You know, and the first command guy is now displaced, which you see that in any hierarchy going, you know, that happened, you know, even in, you know, Nazi Germany. It doesn't last long.
They had two masters.
Right. And it doesn't work. You know, so you see also the infighting. Because, okay, you have these... a house full of vipers, you know, and if there's one rodent in there, they're all going to go for it. So I'm amazed, though, the one scene, it reminded me of the Neil Gaiman story for Sandman, the convention of serial killers.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you're waiting for something to happen. It's like, you're watching them, and they're all reading or whatever, and they're having coffee in this house, and I'm like... it just seems so disturbing.
It was very disturbing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and you mentioned the two masters. I think that it was even more than just people. It was like, well, we set up this organization to do X. Now, demigod guy's back, and suddenly we're doing Y. Now, why are we doing Y?
Right.
I mean, that whole, it seemed to completely upset everything.
Right.
Well, I think a big part of that is because, you know, Joe didn't recruit a whole bunch of these people. Like, he, you know, it was, what's his face?
Roderick.
Thank you, Roderick. Sorry, names. Just too much going on.
I'm right there with you.
Hang
don't worry
on
about
to.
It.
But you know what actually reminds me? This is going to sound terrible. Have you guys seen Last Temptation of Christ?
Yeah.
Where
I can't wait to hear how this
where
is
basically, you have the head guy, and then you have the guy who's basically his PR. Who, you know, who can possibly live up to that hype? Who can possibly actually come in and, in human form, be as wonderful as the legend that you've built up around whoever's your head honcho guy. So I think that in this, like in, you know, Last Temptation of Christ, when you have to put all of that expectation, everyone's hopes and dreams, and, you know, whether it's, yay, you're our Messiah, or yay, you're our wonderful, inspirational serial killer, writer man, you know, whatever it is. Can anyone ever live up to someone's ideal of themselves once you meet the real person? And the real person has to fulfill that, you know, based on whoever it is that's been going out spreading this, oh, he's the best, he's the greatest, you know, he's your ultimate expectation. Would anybody have been able to pull that off? So, yes, in that way, it made me think of Last Temptation of Christ, where he was like, you know, I don't even know if I need to live up to this or not.
The amazing thing I liked about this, it should be
of service to all goths everywhere because they were not recruited at all into the cult of, you know, Edgar Allan Poe. There was not one goth person in that group. And I mean, it's like all the to base his base, you know, that whole thing on Edgar Allan Poe was very strange because it seemed like the people who were recruited seemed so unliterary like. You know, of people that were well read. They were just loners looking for something to do.
Well, I mean, it's basically, if you haven't read the source material, then it's easier to warp it for people, I would guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Religion! So, I mean, there's that in there.
Why did Hickley have Catcher in the Rye?
There you go.
There's a lot in the story about toward the end of the season where Joe is not nearly as great a writer as he thinks he is.
Oh, that happened. It's delusional.
And I think he picked Poe because of all the writers. Poe was like the first guy, I think, who really understood what horror was.
Correct.
You know, and that's what he's trying to create. I mean, I started watching the show because, this is going to sound weird.
I'll guarantee you we've heard weirder.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
I'm interested in evil, and I'm a Sunday school teacher, and I do a class on how you recognize evil. It's very deceptive, and evil can be very charming, and it can draw you in.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
I have to go to the bathroom right now. I'll leave.
And a lot of the followers of Joe are kind of like marginally psychotic.
Well,
and he gets them, you know, and he kind of twists them. And it's cool.
Well, it's if you read anything on what psychopaths do, they prey upon the weaker individual, that they get their kicks off of that.
Yeah.
It's amazing. He's so charming, and he knows how to do it. Okay, all weekend long, just to prove a point, if you're charming to people, I mean, you go out of your way. I've been doing this all weekend long, and I've got new stuff for me all weekend long.
So, you do understand how much that scares us, right?
Yes, I do.
Hi, Mom.
It scares me because she just gave me a Coke, and I don't know what's
going to
happen now.
So, if I finish my Coke.
Well, no.
Oh, you're all gone.
This is why I like this show, because it does show if you take anything from it, you know, as a Sunday school teacher, it's to build people's self-esteem up.
Yep.
That is the number one thing you need to do.
Evil can be very normal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think this show really gets
There's a good book, if you're gonna do that, there's two, Confessions of a Sociopath and The Sociopath Next Door.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are people who can wear masks. They seem normal.
The book that I use a lot of is People of the Lie.
Mm.
Well, and that's what I was going to say in regards to the show. That's how I knew in the beginning, this is going to fall flat apart, right? You can't, by the exact nature of what a sociopath is and does, I mean, basically we're dealing with a cultist in charge of a bunch of other sociopaths, so to speak. It's the House of Vipers. There are no vermin, so we're going to eat
each other.
Yeah,
right.
It's what they do. They can only form a certain level of emotional attachment to each other, but then after that, it's like, turn.
Well,
it's going to
again,
fall apart.
Sociopaths, I know some people think that it doesn't exist. It does. They'll form relationships, even normal ones. Not all of them cross the border to psychopath. And this one woman, I think her name's Emmy Thomas.
That's a pseudonym she's writing under.
Yeah. Mm. You know, she'll even say, I'm friends with this person because I know, A, it makes me seem normal. I know the way I am. But I'm also getting something back from them, you know. And it sort of forms, you know, I'm only friends with them. And I'll do anything for him.
Why do you keep using me as an example?
Because there's no one here.
Why do you keep pointing at John?
Well, the other thing, talking about it seemed perfectly normal. One of my favorite things I've ever seen on television, the most hilarious and yet telling things, was when Michael Moore did the series TV Nation. He did a sequence where they tried to test that whole, he seemed so normal. He was just so perfectly normal. You remember this? So what they did was they rented a house in suburbia. and they hired an actor to play crazy psychopath guy and kept upping the ante to see at what point does it tip over into, okay, we need to call the cops.
Bags of heads home. No.
So basically they started off with, like, they left a mattress out for the trash that had a blood stain on it.
Nice.
They would play screams on a record player, you know, coming out of the house. He had a shadow of him with an axe in the front of, you know, this. He brought a backhoe into the front yard, and was burying oil drums in the front yard. I mean, they couldn't do anything, and they kept interviewing people in the neighborhood. Well, I guess if he wants to paint half of his garage door red, I mean, it's his house, he can do it. At no point did they ever go, okay, we've gone to crazy town, somebody please call the cops, which I thought was hilarious and yet telling. So that's probably on YouTube. I urge you to seek it out. It's funny and disturbing at the same time.
But that's the thing that says more about society versus sociopaths themselves, right? Mm-hmm. I view, like, and I know for me personally, throughout my own personal experiences, when I watch a show like this, I'm like, I sit there and I go, really? You bought that? Because I'm the one out of my group of friends that I'm closest with that I sit there and go, bullshit. Give it time. And they go, well, I don't know. He's such a great guy. I'm like, give it time. I'll give you my wife's best friend, and I'll leave it at this. There were some things I noticed from the very beginning, and I took a step back, and they're like, well, why are you so withdrawn from that? I'm like, I'm giving it time. And I took a step back, and it took a year. It took a year and about 3 months. And then it's, what happened? Well, they misappropriated funds out of blah, 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 blah. Like, and there it is, right? And everyone's looking at me going, yes, I knew. And I'm the asshole that'll say, I know. It's because, I don't know, I expect less.
Which is why he hangs out with us.
No, but I set the bar low, and I'm hopeful,
but I also identify with
where I grew up as a kid, right? I grew up in the inner city very early in some very screwed up circumstances and watched people do some very screwed up things. So I've always been on guard, and I watch certain things, and I watch people's eyes, and I watch people's body language. And I mean, even in a lot of studies that you find for psychology, they'll tell you, like, just in general, African Americans believe more of what your body says versus what your mouth says, right? It's just part of the parcel and package for a lot of us. And it's what I do.
Oh, thank God.
So I'm like, okay, that's fine. You've said a lot. But based on my own personal experiences and how I've gotten to watch people and view people, I am. No.
The fact that you're dancing a jig while you say this makes me suspicious. So, Lee, what were you going to say? You had your hand up.
You've misappropriated funds? Is that what you're saying? You want to make a confession?
Well, you know, she's trying to get all those stickers, so...
I want stickers. I want to give out... No, we're giving away stickers. I don't want stickers. I want to give them away. No, I think it's very interesting because literally I heard... I was on my porch this week, and I actually swear to God I heard a man's voice screaming help. Every, like, 10, 30 seconds. Oh! Help! And I literally... It drove me crazy after about... 20 minutes of this happening, I literally had to call the cops, and they get there, and then it stopped, and I'm like, I'm so sorry, I feel like an idiot, and they looked at me, and they go, no, we wish more people would be actually worried about that kind of stuff, because neighborhoods don't do that anymore,
no,
well,
they don't.
Do not.
Look at the situation, what was it, is that the Cleveland or whatever it was? The guy had the three women locked in his house?
No, that's Cleveland. No, that's different.
Where was that? Okay.
It was New York, but Cleveland, that guy, yeah.
Yeah. Where it's, you know, it's only because somebody heard somebody screaming that they got out after 9 years.
Neighborhoods don't do that anymore.
That guy was evil, and he passed for years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
But
what does evil look like?
Terrifying.
And what's normal?
Well, and I think
and
this is a slightly different issue than that, though. I don't think this is that problem, though. I mean, like, how many women in here were just, okay, this was the moment for me in this show that I was just like, what? Because, was her name Sarah, the first one, the blonde girl?
that gets their eyes poked out.
The chicken blossom?
Yes. That they're, all the cops are in there, and then there's the two adorable gay guys who are the neighbors, and they're like hugging her and, you know, just checking out the policemen. And I had the thought, I was like, oh, I wish I had two gay guy neighbors. That would be so great. Because one of them gives her that great bear hug. And I was like, that'd be so great.
And they take care of her.
These two guys are being so sweet. And you don't have to worry that either of them are hitting on you. Yeah. And then.
You're safe.
And then there's that moment where you find out that, wow, she wasn't safe. And they weren't even gay. Or maybe. But there's just that moment of, oh, my gosh. It's not that my neighbors didn't watch out for me. It's that. These people are playing such a long game and are so good at getting into whatever it is that people needed, and they really called it on her that they were like, well, what does she need? She needs to feel safe. What does she need to feel safe? Probably like some big, strong guys, but she needs to not have a romantic thing, so let's get some gay guys. You know, so they fed directly into her psychological need, just like they did with all these people, and they're playing such a long game over so many years people aren't calling it. And I feel like I would have been that girl. And let me just tell you guys, I would just admit this. That night, I was, like, pushing on the walls of my closet to, like, make sure. Because it's just that moment where you doubt everything.
Well, see, when I moved out of the house after college and all my, I'm like 22, 23 years old, and I moved into downtown Philadelphia. Mm. And my uncle, are you sure you want to do that? You don't want a roommate? Is it going to be safe or whatever? I'm like, I'm moving to the gayborhood. I'm going to be fine. You know, and that was exactly what I told him. I'm going to be fine. And then I saw that scene and like,
that's what I thought was great is that
how
basically
dare those sweet gay men try to kill me.
but that whole thing of subverting expectations of, and I was telling her, I was like, you know, that after that episode, you know, there's single women across the country who have just went, holy crap, you've taken the one safe place that I knew I had, and you've taken it from me, you bastard. Now I have to watch the rest of this show.
Who am I going to drink margaritas with now? Where you even doubt your own instincts, because my instincts, if I had been her, well, I mean, hopefully I'll never test this theory, but I think that I would have told myself that I was safe, just like when that guy comes to that sorority house, and you're like, oh, policeman in a uniform, I'm probably safe. So it's just not only that your neighbors may not make the call when they hear you screaming help, it's that your own instincts and your own experience of, well, at least this is safe, could be totally shot, and that's why, to me, the whole show is like, you don't know what to expect in any given moment. You know, and
John,
I'm
sorry,
you made that noise.
No, just because, you know, I have a 13-year-old daughter, and I know college is coming up soon, and she lives in this world where everything is pink and roses. Well, it's just not pink, but everything is beautiful, nothing is broken in the world, and
Walk's coming pink.
Awesome. Thank you. That's even more comforting.
So do tasers, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Mace.
Siege can hook you up.
And for me, that kind of thing where.
That's fantastic.
You know, you trust people based on their uniform or things like that, and she doesn't get that there are people out there that are just. That might be in these professions that are not exactly appropriate. I'm breaking up here, so somebody else take it. Because
well, Joe had a long-term girlfriend who turned out.
So did Ryan. Oh, you mean Ryan had a lot, yeah.
Well, no,
and
it's terrifying. I mean, I just let my 14-year-old, he was here, that was my kid, I just let him go walk around this con because he wants to go and look at costumes. He's 14. He's a good kid. I trust him. The problem is, I don't trust any of y'all.
Exactly.
And John and I are friends, and we've even kind of talked about this. I hate that I can't trust anybody else, because I have a good kid, and I know that 99.9% of you guys are good people. The problem is that 0.1% that are sociopaths and psychopaths, you guys pass really damn well. And that's really scary.
Yes.
Not Rocks. Well, Rocks' problem is that she's outwardly evil.
Yeah. Rocks enjoys shuttling her evil side. Yeah.
That's right.
I'm just glad she at least pretends to be on our side.
That's right.
Yes.
I was just going to say, where do you think the show's going to go from here after the.
Oh, back to the show.
Oh, yes. Well, okay.
Aside from my personal breakdown.
Well, let's. Yes.
Have
some more jerky.
I don't know on how it would. Because they built up this guy. And you think, oh, he's got all those connections. And I knew when
They said the helicopter was unmarked and they're dealing with a militia. I'm like, okay, he doesn't have the launch. Yeah, I was hoping this guy was like a Moriarty. Like, all of a sudden he has a senator in his pocket and this and that. But I mean, on a base, he was using the right, instead of going to the extent of like the Godfather, oh, hey, we set you up with a hooker and we killed her, but you think you did it. You know, it's just basically, oh, hey, we got your, you know, it's like simple thug tactics.
Mm.
So when it was like, oh, yeah, we're hooked up with the militia and stuff, I'm like, oh. See, I was hoping it was far-reaching. Then it falls into the, like you said, whoever said it, that Joe thinks he's a more brilliant writer, so he's very delusional.
Right.
And he doesn't have the And the funny thing is it seems like he can't be charming to people probably who are smarter than him.
That's the problem. As soon as you start outdoing him intellectually...
Yeah.
Well, that's why I almost... I almost wish that he was actually dead. Spoilers, I don't think he is. Quick poll.
Who thinks he's dead? Absolutely no one in the room. Awesome.
That's why it would be an interesting choice.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Right.
Especially because, I mean, you know, I could see James Purefoy wanting to go back and do some more movies because he's really good. But I would almost want to see... And this is where I thought they were going to go with it, because we talked on the podcast about how the hell do you extend this past a season?
Right.
Because my thought was...
Let someone take... Oh, sorry.
Exactly. Let somebody, one of the followers, become the head of it.
Well, they showed you...
What's her face?
Yeah.
I don't like her.
She is such a follower herself, though.
You're not supposed to like everyone on the show.
No. She doesn't even make a good... bad person. No. I just wanted to slap the crap out of her. I'm like, you're doing it wrong.
Nice.
I vote Rock should be the new lead of the cult in season two.
Serial killer?
Rock's a spaz house.
Well,
herself.
I mean, it's like, she played the nanny so well.
Mm?
Or the au pair, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you saw her cracks of when she was... outwardly manipulating the two guys instead of being subtle like Joe was. Apparently you're not taking cues from your master. You know, and it was just
Joe
like,
turned out to be not so subtle as well, so.
Right, yes. Well, that's because everything started, you know, the plan, whatever the plan was just falling by the wayside, and he didn't have an end game of how to do that. I mean, it's, you know... If anything, he didn't really read any of Poe's detective stuff, it seems.
Nice. But, yeah, I almost wish somebody else would step up and take control of it and do what you're talking about, which is going, you know, this was a neat idea, but we really need to take it to the next level.
That's why I was sad that Roderick got, you know, because I was like, well, obviously it's going to be him, and then, you know.
Yeah.
The show, I mean, it would be suicide for the show, ratings-wise, but if Kevin Bacon and Purefoy didn't come back, and next season was Iceman versus Emma.
Well, and talking about where it's going to go, I mean, I was very happy with 9.5 episodes of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I was thrilled with it up until past where I forget her name, the cultist specialist agent. I forgot it. I can't remember names. You know, she was buried. I thought, oh, well, they're going to rescue her.
Parker.
Nope, she's gone.
Oh my
Past
God.
That, it sort of went off the deep end. Because what I did not like was, like I said, 9 episodes, they would end with something like, gotcha. And you're like going, oh, damn. But this one, it was like, I'm like, so instead of leaving us with the season, with What's-Her-Face either inside the apartment already, and we don't know if you're stabby or not, or, oh, coming to the door and to offer help or something like that, and you go, oh, it's you, we're going to let you in, and we're left like that. Oh, just everyone stabbed and bleeding on the floor. It's like, okay, well, there's no cliffhanger here. You know, we know Kevin Bacon's going to come back, don't know about the wife, doesn't really matter at this point, and we know you're probably going to get shot. All right, so that's the first two episodes of season two in the bag.
Kevin Bacon's going to come back.
Right, see, yeah, I see, now I'm disappointed, because I thought, as much as I love Kevin Bacon, I thought that was an awesome ending, and thought it was going to go anthology, like American Horror Story or something. And just do something else with, you know, some other kind of following. But then I found out it continues.
That would be interesting.
It takes away from that perfect ending where Ryan won, but he didn't.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, in the end, Joe won. And no, he doesn't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, we can do it. They can play it this way. They can still have Kevin Bacon, but they're investigating, a different cult.
Well, when you and I talked about this last time, you kind of won me over to your side, and then I started thinking about it again. I think it's just a matter of...
That's the story of my life.
I think it's just a matter of, as far as the ending is concerned, it's really just it was a choice that they made. I think that it would have gone into the same exact point. I mean, it was going to be the same exact point that would have started the second season instead, where both of them are dead. Or not dead. Or stabbed. On the floor, your point was just that you wanted it to end, if I'm correct, end with just her and her in the room or in the apartment.
Where there was a question as to what
was going
to happen.
What was going to happen, right? So all they really do is give you a preview into season two is what my point is.
But my thought is you start season two, and season two, here's how you screw with the audience on the first episode. Opening title card, 6 months later. And then you start working backwards as to what the hell happened. You might not even show Kevin Bacon or the wife at the beginning of the episode. So you spend half of it going, all right, are they crippled? Are they in a coma? What the hell's going on? And you start working your way back inwards towards the center and reveal what happened that way. And
do not put that past Kevin Williamson. Do you remember that Kevin Williamson, whether you like Dawson's Creek or not, he screwed with everybody in Dawson's Creek with different... It's high school, but he different pairings and different things. He likes messing with your head, so don't put anything past him.
I would love that.
Well, you're a big Dawson Creek fan. You should know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course.
Huge.
It goes, to me, it's more like Dawson's Raging River.
The one thing I will say about the beauty of...
Did you say Team Basie?
Yes.
The one thing I will say that I liked about the beauty of the ending, the one thing that I always like in a series is if they tell me point blank, I am going to kill you. And then enough happens that by the time that character comes back and kills you, I have forgotten. So they plan out tell you that the chick who stabs Ryan at the end, she's like,
Molly.
Yeah.
That he is mine to kill. Mm-hmm. And you hear that and you're like, oh, yeah, whatever. She's never, Joe's never going to let you do that. And then Joe's out of the way. And then she comes back and kills you, or stabs him, and you go, why didn't I know that was coming? I knew she was next door. I knew she wanted to do it. But there was enough... Hey, that I forgot.
I was waiting for it. I mean, I knew it was coming.
Does anybody think that Joe, if Joe was still totally controlling everything, that he really did mean it when he said that she could kill Ryan?
No, of course not.
I don't know. I agree. Maybe he did. He was pretty wacky.
He wanted that play to himself.
What I would absolutely love as well.
Well, I don't think I honestly don't think Joe ever wanted to kill him. Well, I think he just wanted, as he said, he wanted to kill everyone around him.
If you look at Sherlock Holmes and all the nemesis or even like Unbreakable, you have your protagonist and you have to have your protagonist. Did I say that?
Protagonist and antagonist.
Yeah. So of course Joe wants to kill him, not Molly or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
'cause he has a plan.
I almost wish that what would happen is you do something like, you get halfway through season two before Joe even shows back up again. Mm. I mean, everyone actually believes he's dead to the point where you start to go, well, I don't know if he's even in, I don't know if he's coming back or not. And then all of a sudden he shows up, with the wig and goes, hi, Emma, what's going on? You're like, oh, shit, there's the ending of episode six, So I would hope that there is a longer game and a better game than what was established, but really didn't seem like there was. And and the fact that you had the whole, the whole ending of, I have to go face him alone, and we're gonna fight in a boathouse that happens to be apparently rigged to explode, and it's just like, I was like, wow, this is like, is this supposed to be like a bad B movie because it was so good before now?
Well, it is possible. See, that boathouse scene kind of it irks me in one way, but I also thought about it with. If you're thinking deep enough, And if Joe is thinking deep enough, that would be his kind of thing, because he is such a horrible writer, right? Mm-hmm. That he thinks that this is the kind of thing that has to happen for drama. You know, oh, we think, you know, but in reality, all of us go, well, okay, yeah, sure, it explodes, you see it through the fire, all right, okay. So that's the only thing that kind of gets me where I can say, okay, the writers are thinking, like, Joe's thinking that this is what, how it should go, this is a dramatic point, this is... but otherwise, unless they're going to use that as an excuse that was Joe's, you know, thinking it's all part of the book. It was a horrible scene.
Well, that's my concern is that that theory makes a lot of sense, but unless you give us some grounding for that in the actual plot or dialogue or something, we just assume it's you the writer, not Joe the writer, because you got to the end and went, you know, I mean, we've seen this so many times. And in fact, you know, I love Stephen King, but I mean, the guy sometimes can't end a book. You know what
no,
I mean?
No.
So it's like, so you go, awesome, 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 awesome. Oh, crap! And it's just like,
and then they went home.
Yeah, the library policeman. I believe that this jerky is something from my childhood. Therefore, I can use it to defeat you, nameless monster, because of the power of my faith, or something. So I don't know.
Jerky's pretty powerful.
Jerky is powerful, but in Stephen King's hands, it can take down, you know, entire realms of magic and demons and stuff like that.
It's sort of funny, I'm trying to figure out on, you know, the whole organization of Joe's little network. It's like, okay, he has a first command, but yet there's no, second and third.
Well, that we know of. I mean, that was the nice thing when you get the idea of there's different cells that don't know about each other and, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, oh, okay, well, we don't know who else.
I know, but then you see the flaw in it by, like, oh, we're hooking up with the militia nut jobs.
Unless that was,
you know, like the guys that are like,
right.
Oh, hey, we have all this stuff.
Maybe he does have a senator.
Well,
know.
What I would love is that if you also had, because we know that he was sending people to go and say stuff on television that was supposed to activate things. We don't know what all it activated.
Right.
I mean, what would be awesome if it was this triggered this thing that you saw, and also these two things that you only found out about much, much later. That would be awesome, but I don't know if that would work.
Okay, well then it would be kind of interesting if Joe is also a follower. And there's somebody else. I mean, like you said, because it's kind of, because we don't know the person that knows how to do the encryption in website stuff. There is, you know, ways of hiding information in websites. You know, as they saw the, you know, here's your, you know, recruiting thing that they showed.
Just ask the NSA.
Yeah, or yeah. If you want, attend the EFF meeting, you know, panel sometime this weekend. So I'm wondering, because they didn't really talk about the person that really knows how to do, you know, that person's not there.
I thought that was the,
I did too.
The Army intelligence guy.
Which one was that?
The guy
who got himself as an act of contrition.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
His name was Charlie.
Yeah.
Oh, I realized that. That was the guy that I felt thing for with the strings music behind that I couldn't sing for Scott.
Yeah.
That I felt, I was like, but you don't have to die. You were trying so hard. And I feel so bad for you. And like, you know,
get an E for effort.
Yeah, basically. And like, and they all were just so emotional about it. And I was like, wow, these people are really like, this really matters to them. It's not just, you know, stabby, stabby, whatever. You know, they really seem to be caring, and that bothered me that I cared.
The problem with that, you know, that hierarchy is, like, you don't have anyone else to replace that. If you're going to do that, you already know you're going to promote the guy below, and he didn't have one. I mean, that's the whole problem about his organization.
That we saw.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in the house, who's to say another one.
That wasn't really big. Did you guys notice that the crowd, like, shrank?
Yeah.
When whoever first comes to the house and all these people keep coming out of the house?
Do you know
to
what
meet
I...
Joe, and then the next day there's, like, 20 people.
Actually, the person out of that crowd, they were all kind of the same age, except for that old lady. I want to know her story. Who the hell did she kill?
It was a knitting accent, really.
I know.
Her old knitting circle is now.
She's Joe's leader. That's her.
Well, is that it?
It's Joe's grandma.
It's Aunt May. Aunt May's part of... She's
his grandma.
Worse, it's Aunt May.
Talk about some of these people and what they are. I mean, this isn't a show that has to do...
Yeah, you know what? You're right, because they can even go backwards.
I pressed on it. Oh, I didn't say that.
Oh, boy.
You know, they can spend, you know, oh, hey, here's Aunt May. She killed Peter to get in.
Don't write that down.
What?
Con husband, do not write that down.
Make sure to put a squeaky on it.
Singer Saving Grace, Lee, get some. Yeah, right here.
I was just going to ask you, this may be a naive question, but it seemed like the police department had no idea what was going on. They seemed like really inept.
Well,
no, but...
That's normal.
No.
Well, but part of the thing too is that and this is something I think you would point out while we're watching it, is that it was like well, this is only happening over the course of a few days, really. So I mean, they don't really ever have a chance to gain their footing, and they're constantly going, oh well, we thought it was this big. Oh shit, it's this big. Oh wait, no, shit, it's this big. And so
seriously, these guys even gone home to shower at this point? Like,
yes.
And honestly, let's remember the guy that they just put to death. Actually, he's had serial killings for over 2 decades, and they're just now finding it out.
Right. If you watch any of the shows that cover serial killers and how they uncovered it, in the beginning, they have no clue really what's going on, ever.
Yeah, no.
Right? It's the most obvious thing right in front of them, and consistently.
But it's obvious in hindsight.
Yeah, right
here.
I was thinking the same thing. It's like, how come they're not able to figure this out? And then we met Roderick. So, and he was not a cop. He was like the head of them. So he was able to manipulate the information that the other cops got. And so I wondered, like, well, how many others of these that Joe has around who would get that message that you're supposed to pass on?
I was expecting somebody on the FBI team to be a plant. I was just waiting. And first of all,
I still think someone is.
That's what I'm thinking.
That one random guy, he comes in like in the middle of the season. All of a sudden, he's the head honcho, and he just appears like out of the middle.
Was that the guy that got stabbed in the eye? Because I can't.
Yeah.
I mean, it was him for a little while, and then what's her face, you know, stabbed, and I was like, that's commitment if that is him.
Yeah.
It's like, so you can join the group, but you're only gonna have two eyes for so long.
That's how he becomes this universe's Nick Fury.
Well, and that's the thing, like, for a little while, you know, Sean Ashbrook, I was like, well, maybe it is still him, and he's just really dedicated, and they just told him to be ready for a severe amount of pain, because these people were going to come beat him up, you know?
I would be mad. I would be very mad.
You'd be mad if it was
him, I would be mad.
Well, and again, what I loved about that was, talking about subverting expectation, when he first walks in, you think... And the way he addresses the Kevin Bacon character, it's just like, oh, well, you're the hotshot, you know, young dick. And instead it's like, oh, no, I really love everything that you've done. I love that constantly going, oh, well, you thought it was this because you've seen it like this in every other show and movie. No, it's like this instead. I absolutely love that. That's why I was like, you know, I was like, oh, man, we've had like, you know, we've had 2 black FBI agents. They've both been taken out. I'm like, oh, that's it. But I thought it was.
And the girl didn't get saved.
No.
The woman always. If they had been Ryan in the box, I could have seen that he would have died, or the kid who I can't remember, Sean Ashmore.
Yeah.
I could have seen him die, but because it was Parker, I'm like, they're gonna get there just in time, or only seconds after.
Right.
You know, wouldn't it be awesome if it wasn't really her though? Like if they just had a body that looks super like her? Because are they gonna do DNA testing? Probably not. I mean, they're pretty sure it's her.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be awesome if they, like, switched out a body because they just found a body in a box?
Yeah,
if it wasn't her.
It would be very disappointing.
Yeah,
that would be disappointing.
Yeah, I was actually hoping for the before he got his throat slashed, the first black FBI agent, because I was like, but there are black serial killers, but you never have any in pop culture. So I was like, well, there's the ultimate subversion.
You don't really do that. That's not really
No. There's some.
Only you white people.
I'm not saying it's common and there's a cover-up, all right? Let me make this clear.
Wait.
You're protesting an awful lot. No, that's not our thing. No.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm completely normal.
Joe is really Javier Bardem. He's going to remove his mouthpiece and...
Yeah.
That's nice.
What's your nickname?
Madman.
Madman. Unidentified Madman. Yes, because he's incognito.
Exactly.
Kevin Bacon? All right, we're like less. We got like 8 minutes or something. So, yeah, I know. I went extremely fast.
They can't prove it.
So I have one last question, and we'll take we'll get final statements. Yeah. Anyone?
Anyone? Thoughts?
Otherwise, we'll just. Well, all right.
Bored him to sleep.
I know, he's just gone.
Wow.
That was called fear.
Yeah.
It's been a very long day.
I know, it has been. All right, so. So, all right, so final thoughts, I mean, on season one, where you want season two to go, what would make you happy, pleased, sad? Jenna, what are your thoughts, final thoughts on the following?
I like the first season very much. I wasn't quite as disappointed with the final episode as you were. I thought that it worked. I thought it worked. It wasn't necessarily like the most mind-blowingly brilliant thing ever, and I was just, my mind was changed forever about television, but it was still really good. And I care enough. They built up enough where I cared enough about what happens to these people that I will be switching the TV on whenever it is that it premieres. I need to look that up, actually, but definitely want to see it. So
do we know that?
I think he's going to look it up right now for all of our benefit. But I hope, because it seems like they had some really good creative minds, not just one good creative mind, some really good creative minds and some wonderful casting and just some wonderful choices that were made all around for season one. And unless all of those people blew their wad on season one and they have nothing else to bring to season two, I think that they could pull it out of the woodwork because they surprised us so many times already that I think they can make it happen, for season two. I don't know how, but that's also kind of the fun part, that none of us have any idea how they could really pull this off, but they just might.
Yeah, apparently Keith Carradine has joined the cast of season two.
Wow. Okay.
Interesting.
Yes, very
easy. Is he doing the same
also
thing?
Also, Ronald McDonald. I saw Ronald McDonald on that.
Yeah, Ronald McDonald is actually the new Joe Carroll.
It's a fast food serial killer.
Yeah, that's right.
Really, I mean, when you think about it, it is.
So in other words,
it's a silent killer.
What I see on Wikipedia, which is always right, is that it will be airing sometime next year. So,
sometime next year.
Yep.
Mid-season replacement.
There you go. All right, JJ.
I think they're...
Oh, sorry about that. Does it also show what the ratings, how the ratings actually did?
I'll look that up all day.
Because I'm curious about that. But go on, JJ.
Yeah, go ahead.
I do want to. There was a. There was a. It's hot, very hot. There was a snippet that they kept leaving dangling, and that's that Joe kept talking about Ryan's transformation. I want to know what that transformation is. I want to believe there's a. It's the extract room, so I want to believe there's a bigger plan, and that it would be interesting if somehow, if over a course of a couple of seasons, if he does have the big plan, Ryan's already been shown to be slightly immoral, and if his gray line moves farther and farther into black, and they do kind of switch places eventually, it could be kind of interesting. You know, as long as it doesn't start first episode next year. I'm a killer now!
That would be weird. Opening episode was $10.4 million. And then it sort of just continually dwindled and picked back up a little bit in the middle of the season. And then by the end, it was at, if I could scroll.
The reason 7.8. The reason why I asked that is because my wife dropped out pretty early. Because she's just like, I can't watch this. It's just too, it was too intense. It was too much.
And so
I think
she thought it was bad. She just found it too disturbing.
Oh, no. She thought it was very good. It was just very disturbing.
Yeah.
She couldn't bear not trusting the gay guys anymore.
That is disturbing. Huh. I'm telling you.
It
still bothers me.
What's around episode 3?
American single women have lost their innocence at one.
Yeah, I actually I kept it away from my girlfriend in the beginning because my girlfriend really hates eye trauma in movies.
Oh,
it creeps her out a lot.
They were doing that.
So I was like, okay, I saw the first two episodes. I'm like, just stay
the
away.
The first episode was the worst one, though. I felt like it was the most violent, bloody, awful, gory in the first one, and then
it's how they hooked me.
Because then it turns psychological.
My wife had not watched it. I came on. I started watching it. She wasn't home yet, and I went, "Oh my God, you've got to see this!"
But yeah, she watched two episodes in the middle, and I didn't want her to watch them in the middle because I was like, I don't want to explain all the backstory. But yeah, she watched two episodes, and at the end of two episodes, she was like, "Ah, if you want to watch this again, I'll watch it. This is fun."
cover her
fun,
eyes during
good.
The first,
fun?
You know.
Fun may not be the right word,
well
but
done.
She is my girlfriend.
You are in Portland.
Well, my thing is, I just would hope that season two would continue to subvert expectations. I mean, especially since, I mean, again, our expectation was one season and then we're good. But so, you know, thrill me. I mean, where do you go with this? And they have lots of really cool options that they could take. I just hope they take one of those and don't, you know, fall into what a lot of series do, where they'll have like one really great season, and then that's like, then the difficult sophomore album happens, and then they, you know, have run out of ideas or something, or it's one of those things where they never planned to go this far, you know, the Chris Carter effect, where they don't know where the hell they're going to end up, so it eventually you just go, and it ends like that. So I'm hoping it'll stay strong, John.
I concur. I hope that it stays strong, of course. I would like it actually. I would like actually for it to take the British approach and sort of find a two or three season arc and just have a two or three season arc and be done with it, and not drag it out forever and just become. Because at some point
it
starts to become a procedural.
Becomes ridiculous.
Yeah, it becomes its same thing over and over and over.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's what's like. It's,
so far, it hasn't been any, the same
yeah.
thing over and over again.
Well, it's
that's,
like
that's what's
it's
nice
like
it,
the Wire. Just know when to quit while you're ahead.
Right,
yep.
Right. If it did the same. Interestingly, you mentioned that if it did the same thing as The Wire, where
took a different angle. Each
where
season.
Season was a different angle, and now we've seen this. Now, what effect does it have on? Unfortunately, well, you still have the same actors and same characters in The Wire. But you kind of shifted the focus away from.
Well, you added another like subcast to it,
right.
Which could be fun, Rocks, if they do like you know season two is well, how do we play with government? And
yeah,
make, yeah
or,
I mean,
or
that,
even
that
even
would be cool.
Media,
actually.
I mean, media would be the interesting angle for that because that's what he's focused
yeah.
so
yeah.
much focus
right.
on.
No, that would be cool. Rocks, what do you think?
No, I'm going to just address to Sunday school teacher lady.
Oh.
What you
wow.
need to do
that's
is
her name?
Build up. Since you're teaching young kids, give them a self-esteem. They, you know, you can't give self-esteem, but they need to know it. Just so we don't have victims.
Children need to be taught to trust their instincts.
Correct. That's what you need to do.
So for your daughter, she should be learning how to trust herself and her own feelings. Because when you're one of those off people, there are clues, they're just not visual.
Correct, yes. Yeah. So that is what that is what you need to do.
So I were still the Ben Zimmer and Ross.
That's it. What?
No. We're not gonna let her build a little miniature cult.
Ross would like to start indoctrinating people.
What do you mean start?
Well, true.
No, here's the thing.
She already has, you're a director.
No,
yes, exactly.
Honestly, it is it's a lot of work though. I mean, nobody ever, you know, to...
Being a cult leader is difficult work.
Difficult work.
Really, how easy was it for you to get to the fall last night?
Okay. Kind of easy.
That's starting small. You got to work.
I know. But still, you have to make sure that you know how you manipulated A and B, because each one was different.
Yeah.
You know, each person was manipulated differently.
Even
and
Ryan, I mean, like,
that.
Nobody was as skeptical enough.
No.
In this show.
No.
Everybody. Even Ryan, who you would think by now
in,
would be pretty dang skeptical.
In fairness, I don't
everybody
want to extend the panel too far, but in fairness, they didn't know what they were dealing with at the time.
That's what I said.
Much, yeah. Much
well, I know
like,
that's what I'm just saying, but that's what makes it so extreme is that even somebody like Ryan that you would think doesn't trust anybody, doesn't, you know, doesn't commit to anything, like, it's not just the cute blonde girl trusting that, you know, it's whatever. Nobody was prepared for this, even the one guy that you would think would be, because he's already been through all of this, and he's already lost so many.
They spent the entire show on the back foot, basically going,
yeah.
What?
Like even someone who's custom made to be able to survive this kind of thing, like, even he did not. I mean,
well,
at this
well, the
point.
Bad guy, in fairness to Ryan, the bad guy was locked up. I mean, all these things were happening.
This is true.
But the bad guy was locked up.
Which bad guy?
Joe.
Now,
yeah.
You know, the one who stabbed him, girl, but whatever.
Right. So who saw that coming that you would be able to affect? I mean,
that's what
like,
I'm saying. Nobody
by the
was
way,
skeptical enough.
That's beyond John Connor.
The prison break, in all
seriousness would have been unbelievable had they not have handled it exactly the way that they handled it. Because, I mean, normally, you know, just Prison Break is just like, you know, oh, yeah, sure, you would have gotten that. No, the fact that he, that the way that they handled it was, I thought was pitch perfect. Anyway, I think that's our time.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much at time. So, guys, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
I'm sure we'll be here next year to talk about what we didn't like about season two.
And for those who want to sign up for my cult, I have a sign.
There's a sign-in sheet. There's some forms to fill out. We are tax exempt.
Yeah. 401C. Beware the coming rocks apocalypse.